Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the second edition of the CraftBeerGuru.com podcast. And a special edition it is indeed. It is Christmas Eve, so you know what? I wish all of you a Merry Christmas. And if it's not Christmas that you celebrate, I hope you're having a happy holiday. And you know what? If you don't celebrate any holidays, I just hope you're having a very, very joyful day. Joyful season. I certainly am. I'm coming off perhaps one of the most pleasing weekends of my life, something I'm going to share with you, and you know, hopefully it also brings some joy. Maybe if you know you can live vicariously through my happiness, maybe that'd be a good thing. But I hope the equally as pleasing things are happening in your life. Again, I kind of explained the premise of this show in the first episode. Of course, in the background, well, first of all, we'll talk about more than just beer here, absolutely. And one of the things that'll tickle your ears outside of the discussion of beer is the music playing in the background, which I hopefully have somewhat muted because I don't fully have control of it. It is the ever-wonderful Pandora app that is running the music right now. And I have it on shuffle, and given my... what's the word I'm looking for? Not eccentric. I can't think of the word. Eclectic taste of music. There's no telling what may play. It literally ranges from the Beatles to, if you can hear it now, Nirvana, to some gangster rap, especially coming off the weekend I came off of where I was hanging out with some friends who introduced me to some music that was more than my ears had heard before. Pretty fun time. I can't wait to tell you all about that. It was great. And since the first episode, there's been some other things going on. I've had some other good times, things I want to relay. And right this very second, I'm sitting here drinking a Pierre Jacques from Bud Light. Now, Goose Island Brewing Company. So, you know, they get the sort of humorous moniker of being a Bud Light derivative since Goose Island's been bought out by AmBev. Had been, I think it's been a couple of years now, but that, it's actually kind of nice that Goose Island stayed pretty much, the most part, so far as I can tell at least, to their roots and has continued to produce pretty good beer. You know, the corporate structure that now surrounds them hasn't really caused them to start introducing adjunct products or anything that might lessen their beers, especially with these limited series that they have, like all the different. All the different sort of beers that they've had come out for the season, including this Pierre Jacques, which I've kind of had sitting around for a while. It's a Belgian, and I'm just going to quickly tell you what I think about it. I just did a quick passing review on Untappd. You know, it's a decent little beer. I like it that it has some balance to it. It has a lot of spice in the aroma, which kind of reminds me of, like, say, a winter warmer. But, unlike winter warmers that all seem very, very similar to me, and I think I remarked on that last podcast, this one is definitely a Belgian through and through, and I get that Belgian-ness to it, but it's balanced out very well by a very strong caramel base. So by the time you're all done, you have this spiciness up front, like a real like nutmeg cinnamon spiciness. And then the flavor profile, you have, you know, Belgian and caramel kind of competing, which is fun. And then that's all wrapped up in another type of spice, more of like almost not a hop bite, but just a pepperiness that it's coming from something I can't quite put my hands on. But it all comes together to make a nice little package, a decent little beer. Nothing outstanding. I'm not saying run out and buy this beer. However, it's pretty good. The beer I'm actually writing about on the blog today, I'm working on a post right now. By the time you see this podcast, you've probably already seen the review, is of the 2013 Lagunitas Sucks, which they call their brown sugar substitute ale. I've had, I think, Lagunitas Sucks since its inception. I think it was first out in 2011. What a great beer. Now, naturally, I compare it to brown sugar, because brown sugar, well, let's put it this way, it's named the brown sugar substitute ale, so there's that relationship, although I don't think characteristically they're very much a Life at All. One note I did sense in both of those beers, in Lagunitas Sucks and in this year's Brown Sugar, is a little sort of soured citrus in the background. I mean, way in the background of all these much more overwhelming notes that's going on, but the unique thing is this ruby grapefruit sort of tartness that's present in both, but definitely much stronger in this year's Lagunitas Sucks than the Brown Sugar. Also stronger in Sucks relative to Brown Sugar is the aroma. The 2013 Lagunitas Sucks, just crazy strong aroma. And it's one of those things that when I describe it, I feel like I'm describing something that doesn't evoke good thoughts at all. But in actuality, just smells so pleasing. So you get a lot of mowed lawn, which is not a atypical Lagunitas scent note. It's something that's in a lot of their beers. And then also kind of like a sweaty shirt thing going on, maybe like a wet dog almost. And as bad as that sounds, together it really works. Unfortunately, I think the aroma is more influencing than the taste profile itself. So I think what you think you're sensing on your palate with this year's Lagunitas Sucks, you're actually getting mostly out of your aroma. And I think the actual taste that hits the palate is sort of underwhelming. It has that ruby grapefruit thing going on. It has some other stuff going on, but again, it's hard for me to really sort of distinguish between what I'm getting from my nose and what I'm getting from my palate. And I just wish it had something more, maybe like something more resinous, or maybe something that was thicker, and maybe I'm looking for all the things that brown sugar has after its also good scent. It has a real interesting complexity on the palate that I think sucks. Fails to really present. That said, it's still a great beer, and it's one that I do also recommend. Not as highly as I recommend this year's Brown Sugar, but again, as double IPAs go, like this year's Lagunitas Sucks would be almost, I shouldn't say almost as good as any, but it'd be above average, certainly. So, before taking a break, I just want to kind of give you a heads up to the first thing that happened in this weekend, actually week of amazingness that culminated in just the most excellent news for me, and I can't wait to relay all of it to you. But let's start back at the beginning. Since the last time I talked to you on this podcast, well, for the first time, in fact, the day after I started celebrating my birthday, I would love to tell you how old I became, but I'm not going to take that back. I would not love to tell you. In fact, I'm not going to tell you. But I did grow another year older a couple days ago, and we began the celebration last Sunday. And a friend and I went out to DC's newest, well, perhaps maybe not DC's newest brewery, but one of their newest breweries. And I kind of caveated that because these new breweries are popping up all the time now, which, I really love. But this is the one I've been looking forward to visiting because it's a sister bar to, of course, my favorite bar in DC, Turchki, and that brewery is Blue Jacket. So I finally made it out to Blue Jacket on Sunday. It was almost the perfect day to go because I had heard that the one sort of misgiving that people had about Blue Jacket since its inception is that it's just been shoulder to shoulder busy. I visited on a Sunday. The local football team, the Redskins, were playing that day, so I think that kept a lot of people home. And then the Capitals, the local hockey team, were actually playing in a couple of hours. And I then later attended that game, and we were at Blue Jacket pre-gaming. There's so much to like about that place. Man, it was really remarkable. I can tell you I really, really enjoyed myself, and I walked away from Blue Jacket as impressed by it as I've always been impressed by Turchki. First of all, there's so many beers on tap. For a place that brews that serves basically nothing but the stuff that they brew a lot. And you can see why. Their facility is really big. It's in this industrial complex in an area of DC that when I had first, well, maybe not when I first moved here, but when I had first visited here, so say 5 years ago, was really a dilapidated part of town. But since then, they've built in that area, they've built a national stadium, and it's a very up-and-coming neighborhood. And this whole complex that houses Blue Jacket is really putting it over the top. But the actual facility that Blue Jacket is in is so just incredibly architecture, as far as architecture goes, just interesting. You could tell it had been an industrial warehouse of some sort at one time. And they opened it up, so you have like these super high ceilings with galvanized steel all over the place from all the fermentation tanks and all the different things going on. And it's just really striking, very utilitarian looking, yet modern, and just an interesting place. It's worth visiting for the architecture alone, I'd say. The beer is just amazing. I had a handful of beers when I was there, and I guess they were notable enough that I literally remember all the ones I had. They had two beers on cask that I had, the first of which was their Bird of Prey IPA. Wow, it was really unique that it was. I mean, okay, I suppose when you can't really say an IPA is unique because of its bitterness, because how many big, huge IPAs aren't bitter, right? But this one really had like a really dry, sort of biting burn to it. So it wasn't like the resinous ruination or like even as wet sort of tasting as, say, Hop Stupid. This was just a really big bite, dry burn, hop burn. I was on cask and I'm into that. I dig a beer that punches me in the face, and that certainly did. Following that, I end up having their Scarecrow, which is a dry hop saison. I can't praise that as highly as I do the previous beer. It tasted exactly like what you'd expect it to taste like. It tastes like a sort of dry hop saison, right? So it had all the characteristics of a good saison that had also some hop spice to it. I wish I could give it a better, more accurate, more adequate description, but of course, only having one. And, it really is what it is, right? It was a dry hop saison. But by no doubt, it was good. But by far, the highlight of my afternoon at Blue Jacket, I should say the highlight of my beers at Blue Jacket, because I would actually say the service was the best part. But we'll get to that in a second. The best beer I had was a really sweet milk stout called Mexican Radio that was 100% dessert in a glass. Just really just super sweet, sugary, had sort of like, oh, not even like a, not like a rich chocolate thing going on, but like a candy sort of chocolate, maybe like a Tootsie Roll chocolate going on. And it was just, oh, like for a person who doesn't eat actual sweets very often, and I really don't. In fact, I almost never do. I can appreciate a beer that offers that. It was just so, decadent, so decadent and great. And I don't believe the alcohol percentage was that high. So to get how much it delivered by the ABV, which again I don't think was high, is also pretty remarkable. But no matter what the ABV is, I thought it was a great beer. It's something totally different than, if you're going to compare like stouts that are good right now, you can't look at this relative to, say, Founder's Breakfast Stout or any stout that's sort of like that. This is different. This isn't an oatmeal stout. This is nothing like that. This is a milk stout. But now, if you're going to look at milk stouts and you think maybe Left Hand Brewery's milk stout that they have nitro in the bottle, this blows that away. This is so much more sweet, so much more sugary, and just so much more intense, I would say. This was definitely an experience. Like I said, it would be a perfect dessert. So, out of the beers I had, the Mexican Radio was the one I enjoyed the most, although I would say I enjoyed all three of them very much, with the Bird of Prey being probably my second favorite, followed by the Dry Hop Saison. But the beers actually paled in comparison to the service. And that's what I've always appreciated about Church Key. Church Key, they offer so many good beers. And of course, that's a reason to visit on its own. But even better than that is that the service there has always been top-notch. I always felt very welcome, feel like people, the servers went out of their way to sort of interact and make me feel like I was at home. And I actually had a church key or a server I recognized from church key at Blue Jacket, and I got the same feeling. And even one of my friends that was with me remarked that, we're really well taken care of. So I must say, if you're in DC, you can get the Navy Yard Metro stop. It's worth going down there. I mean, if you're at a Nationals game, you absolutely better go to a Blue Jacket. But really, it's for me, it's actually easier to get to, more accessible to even Church Key, because it's right off a Metro stop, whereas Church Key is a couple blocks away. So there's almost no excuse. If you can get to DC and you love beer, get out there. Really have a good time. The food menu, even in the bar, looked good. They actually have a full menu in like the restaurants that's slightly separated from the bar. I can't imagine not having a good time at that place. So again, it gets my full recommendation. So that actually kicked off my week. I think this was back last Sunday. And then it just got crazier and crazier after that. All of which I'm about to share with you. So for now, I'm going to take a break. I actually got some feedback from the first podcast where I kind of paused through the breaks. I'm going to let everything roll. I'm going to get up, stretch out, do what I need to do, take a break, let it play, let it record, and I'll get back to you then. Give me some feedback. Tell me if you like that better or if you like it just kind of skipping ahead. And provide all your comments, any comments you have, and try to make this better, try to make this interactive, try to make it fun for you and me. If you hear the music skip, it's because I might flip through some songs I don't necessarily like on my Pandora. But until then, be back in a minute, and thanks for listening. All right, and welcome back. It seems like the next song that we should be listening to is by Pearl Jam. I can't really complain about that. So it takes me back to my youth. I've been going through sort of a Pearl Jam thing, especially with me traveling to Seattle every once in a while, I guess, in preparation of going there. I like to watch, especially Pearl Jam Unplugged, which was, well, I shouldn't say which was, but the MTV Unplugged. So that particular version was so really extraordinary, in my opinion. Just a great performance. And it's funny, it's only a handful of songs, like six songs, and they all quickly become my favorite song every time I hear them. But anyway, continuing on this week I had. So last Sunday we did the Blue Jacket thing. Had to go to work for a few days, it was what it was. And then I took vacation Thursday, Friday, then this weekend into yesterday, Monday. And I traveled down to the site of my alma mater, Tampa, Florida. And man, did I have a wild time. Most of it was consisted of drinking beers that perhaps weren't of the craftbeerguru.com quality. That is to say, we got a Bud Light keg. It was economical and it made sense. And it was finished in 2 days. So it was definitely a good idea. But before getting into that sort of debauchery, We did make some interesting trips. Got to visit Cigar City Brewing while I was down there. And you know what? That's a cool place. I'm a fan of the Ha'ala, again, probably pronouncing it wrong, IPA. And I was looking forward to trying some new things from Cigar City. The facility itself is really cool. It's also in a warehouse-like facility, kind of like Blue Jacket, although it's not nearly as stunning in architecture sense as Blue Jacket. But it's neat. You can tell it's a production facility. You know, it's a place. There's a tasting room, but it's a place that's made for business. It's made for producing beer. But they had their whole array of beers on tap. I don't know, maybe 15 to 20, perhaps more. I'm not even sure. We weren't there that long. Of the beers I had while I was there, I think the one that kind of stuck out to me the most was what they called their Lab Rat White IPA. Its official name, I guess, was actually Torcedor. Oh, I'm gonna kill it. I'm just gonna kill that name. It's definitely a Spanish influence name, and I want to say maybe it's Torcedores Series Justin. Again, what they refer to as their Lab Rat White IPA. Again, I can't at this point off the top of my head really recall the and not because I can't recall, because of intoxication, just because of time passed, its real flavor profile. But I do remember liking it a lot. I also liked the Florida Cracker, which was, I believe, a wheat beer, but I'd heard of it before and had tried it because I was looking forward to a glass because I heard it was a good beer, and it was. And then the Maduro. Also good. Again, you know what though? Relative to Blue Jacket, I can't even lie. I don't think any of those beers quite blew my socks off like I had the like I experienced at Blue Jacket. But I really enjoyed myself. And that was at Cigar City. That was such a neat experience because I had just gotten off the airplane. A friend picked me up. And that friend gets special mention, and I'll tell you why here in a second. But that friend picked me up, and then, unbeknownst to me, we headed right to Cigar City Brewing. And I was blown away on a Thursday afternoon, maybe 1 o'clock. And I get it's the holiday season, so people probably have off or taking extra special vacation. But man, it was quite crowded for being just an afternoon. And it was a lunch crowd. I mean, these are people who are definitely done for the day. But I guess that speaks to the popularity of Cigar City Brewing down there. So that was a fun experience. Now, let me tell you about the person who picked me up, and the reason I want to give him a special shout out is because really the origin of the craftbeerguru.com is with him. It's a good memory for me. When I was in college, this guy and I would hang out, and I should really thank him because I think he bared most of the cost because he was in a better financial situation during college than I was. But we had decided that we wouldn't ever drink, well, I should say ever, but we would attempt not to drink bad beer or regular beer, I should say. And what we would do is we had a list going just for our own reference of all the beers we drank and our very concise reviews of all of them. And I remember when I started this blog, thecraftbeerguru.com, one of the reasons I started it was because of the influence I had from making that list in college. So I guess any limited success that this blog has is at least in part due to this guy. So that's fun. It's actually so. Now, moving on about my week, I was trying to pace myself on that night because the following morning I had presented to me an opportunity that I have just been absolutely giddy about. Work had opened up a position on the West Coast at an office that I have visited a handful of times in a place that I love, which for beer fans is much more advantageous than where I'm at now. Though that's not the only reason, of course, I want to be out there. But in any case, I was offered an opportunity to interview via the telephone on Friday morning for a position out in Long Beach. So obviously on Thursday night, I really wanted to really pace myself and make sure I was in good condition for the following morning. So after Cigar City, we ended up going out to a it's a restaurant near my college that's also a sort of dive bar, but holds a special place in the heart of my friends and I, because before I hate to take credit for this. When I say I hate for my group of friends and I to take credit for this when no one will ever perhaps believe us, but there was a restaurant that was near our college campus that was just a hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant that I don't even know if they did that much business. And for some reason, we adopted it as our go-to bar. I don't know. I don't even know why we did. I don't even know if it was intended to be, like, if the bar was supposed to be a sort of highlighted showcase part of the area. The facility took pride in being an Italian restaurant. In any case, for a while we went there, and then and for a while after that, and until now, in fact, it's gotten really popular amongst the students at the campus we're at. So we kind of have some special pride that we kicked that off. So anyway, so we went there that night for dinner and just kind of reminisced in old memories. But, you know, took it easy. The next morning I did my phone interview. Who knows how much you care about my phone interview, right? But that's what I told you I'm going to make this podcast about. It's going to be like we're just sitting around drinking beer. So let me tell you about this. I entered this phone interview really positive. Like, I didn't even feel any nerves. I didn't feel I really didn't feel any doubt. I feel like the position that was offered is one that I will do very, very well at. It sort of was shaped to my proficiencies, my aptitudes, and I really entered it with lots of confidence. And it's kind of funny, I was on vacation in Florida, so I actually did this interview outside next to my friend's pool, not because I was trying to be like, I don't know, you know, not that I was trying to live it up, but he had so many dogs running around his house that I just felt like if I could just get outside, maybe I'd find some peace and quiet and serenity, and it was beautiful. I was in Tampa, Florida, right? Despite my confidence, as soon as the interview started, 100% panic. The first question I bumbled through, and not like I'm bumbling with you right now, I'm talking, I had like the shortness of breath, I felt my chest like leaping out of my heart leaping out of my chest, I started pacing around the pool. All of a sudden, it was going really bad really quick. I somehow finished that question. I don't know if I did very well on it, but then that was the only question where I felt that, bam, every other question, boom, 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 boom. I just started feeling really confident. I had this swagger I felt like I should have had because, you know, like I really do feel qualified for this position. And I really felt like the end result, outside that first question, I knocked it out of the park. I really felt that way. But not because of, you know, maybe I'm a good interviewer or anything like that. I felt like I knocked it out of part because that's the feeling that one should get when they're qualified for a position and they're relating their qualities, right? So, I mean, I didn't think I did anything special. I just felt like I did what was expected of me, and given how well the position matched up to me, it was easy to start relaying once I got over that, or conveying myself once I got over that initial nervousness. So after that, so we have this interview, I'm really excited about myself, feeling really good. My friend and I decide to go out somewhere, let's get some lunch. So we go to this place that's also near my campus. It's a place that I used to visit pretty often, and they totally had the niche beer thing down before anyone else in the area, and that's a place called Mr. Dunderbox. So Mr. Dunderbox is a very German-centric restaurant. And back in the day, when I was in college, it was actually in a kind of decrepit area of a rundown mall across the street from the campus. But since then, it's moved to a very nice area of Tampa. But they used to specialize in international beers. You can go there and drink They would be the place that you could do, like, I'm pretty sure you could do, like, the around the world beer tour, and they just had, I wouldn't be surprised if they had hundreds of beers, perhaps 1,000 beers in bottle, mostly international. But now they've come around to, like, the domestic craft beer market. And while I was there, I had some really good food, really, really good food. I had a sausage platter that was just out of this world. But I also had, from my favorite brewery, already referenced tonight when we talked about Lagunitas Sucks and Lagunitas Brown Sugar, I had the espresso stout, which I'd had before from Lagunitas, but this one was aged in rye barrels, or rye whiskey barrels, I'm not sure. And man, it really took that espresso stout up a notch. I mean, it got really big and boozy, and this was a beer that I loved, but I had to take a second to drink. Now, let me tell you, it also took me a while to drink to finish that beer, because as I was drinking it, as we were having lunch, I continued to get follow-up interviews from that same interview opportunity I'd had only a couple hours previous. So that lunch. So imagine here I am. I'm back in Tampa, hanging out with one of my best friends, already planning on having one of the best weekends of my life. And the opportunity I want more than anything in the world, I'm interviewing for it. And then they're doing follow-up interviews during my lunch, which is just making me more excited. It's like all the things were working out exactly as planned. And on top of that, I'm drinking a rye barrel cappuccino stout that was just absolutely killer. And again, that beer was so amazing because it had the richness of the espresso stout that I remembered from the first time I had it. But then with the barrel aging, the magnitude was so ratcheted up. It was big and boozy and bold and just a really, really great beer. So the recap. So, and I'm not at the parts that really, really gave me fulfillment yet. So here we're at. Last Sunday, I went to Blue Jacket. Loved it. I skipped over the part where we went to the Flyers-Capitals games because as a Flyers fan, it was disappointing because we lost after giving up 3 goals in the third period. But I'm digressing. Actually, I'm keeping myself from digressing because we'll talk about the Flyers all night if I were to do that. And then I went to work, and then I went on my vacation in Tampa. And within being there for 15 hours, it was already going way better than I ever anticipated. And I anticipated it going amazingly well. So I went to Cigar Brewing the first day, had dinner at an old haunt that night, and then the following morning had my interview, and then the afternoon was at Mr. Dunderbox, again, having a great, great time, and then to add to my delight, doing some follow-up interviews for that position. So I'm going to take a break, stand up, stretch my legs out, then we'll continue on. I don't have a whole lot about the weekend after that, because a lot of the rest of the details of the weekend are really soaked in Bud Light, and I'm not sure if you guys would appreciate that. But the punchline of the story, I guess you could say, is coming up, and I really am looking forward to sharing that with you. So, take a quick break, let the music play in the background. It sounds like it's Nine Inch Nails. I hope you guys are enjoying, and I'll be right back. Thanks, guys. Whoa, I had to grab the mic quick. Pandora is going with Notorious B.I.G. I actually love this song. It's Notorious B.I.G. by Notorious B.I.G. But, it's, you know, I don't want anyone to back off of this podcast because of explicit language, especially when this explicit language isn't being produced by me. Although, If at some point I am ever able to get guests to this show, I don't want anyone to ever feel limited to what they can say. This is total, like I said, a conversation of people sitting around drinking beer, just having a good time. Now, anyway, well, before I continue on to where I was at, let's think about some other stuff going on here. I just opened up another bottle here of the 2013 Lagunitas Sucks. I'm really trying to get a firm feel on this. Like I said, I'm in the process of writing a review of this beer. And I take great pride in that, right? Like, I really want to be able to describe to you what I get out of this beer. So anyone who is to reference my review, it can make an educated decision whether they want to buy that beer. So I don't do any of this. I don't do any of that writing, just frivolously. I really put some thought into it. I really try to capture it. I really so for real to really explain it to you, to kind of give you a grasp of how much effort I put into it. It takes me, I don't know, probably on average, it takes me, I'd say, 5 to 6 hours to really produce a blog post, which if you read is only maybe a couple hundred words, maybe a couple minutes of actual reading. And if I am to drink a beer at a place, so if I'm at a bar and I drink a beer and I'm going to do the review, or I'm going to review a beer that I drank at the bar, so I drink the beer there, I write my notes. I try to, if possible, find the beer a second time and get, a refresher tasting just to confirm what I know. Then I'll do some research and just like, so I like to add some origin to, if I can, some origin story to the beer review or maybe some context. And then, like I said, the actual writing itself, I'll put the words to, I guess you could say, virtually paper, and then maybe I'll let them sit for a few hours. And just that first sort of recitation of words, that's a few hours in itself, and then just letting them rest, and then coming back to them a couple more hours, and before I really feel comfortable posting it, we have this very in-depth project and result. I know it's maybe sometimes it doesn't seem like that because it's not that much, not that much writing on the paper on the website, but I really put a lot of thought into it. That's why I appreciate so much every single person that reads, and you, it's only a handful of you, which I know it really is. I appreciate every single one. So here I am drinking this Lagunitas Sucks, and I'm thinking about my weekend. So I'm in Tampa. I'd done my phone interview. I've gone from hanging out with like basically one friend because it was a Thursday, Friday, he took off. All the rest of my friends got off work on Friday night. And then from Friday night through basically Monday, there's no other way to put it, we binge drink. But you have to understand what was going on. It wasn't irresponsible, it wasn't immature. We were all just reliving our glory years. We locked ourselves into the house. We didn't want to go anywhere. We wanted to be safe. We had a keg, which we did for economical purposes, and we just enjoyed each other's company. We listened to lots of music. We have a I laugh because a lot of stuff becomes an inside joke after a while, but I call it the Vivo machine. So my friend has a Roku. And then from it, he can stream the different things that he has on his internet. He can stream on his TV. So we end up always just playing Vivo music videos. So basically YouTube videos. And inevitably, we play the same songs over and over and over. And so many cheesy songs, so much Miley Cyrus, cheesy, to straight gangster rap, some of which have names I can't mention right now, to popular songs, Blurred Lines, to classic rock, to just insane amount of things. And meanwhile, all we really do as far as entertaining ourselves is play cards. And by cards, I mean drinking games. And we just drink, talk, BS, wrestle. Just we do all the things that we did as sophomores in college, except for no one gets agitated, no one like argues in a mean-spirited way. We all really enjoyed each other's company. Oh, you know what? Who knows? Maybe they hated me. Maybe they're waiting for me to leave. I enjoyed their company, so I appreciated the weekend. It was great. So you go from being at Cigar City to this place, Mr. Dunderbox, to the place I was at the night before, to having an interview I felt like went really well, to just spending a weekend with my very best friends. And you can imagine me, from just those aspects, it was already one of the best weekends of my life. So let's propel forward. I actually came home yesterday. I was in the airport and I was going through security, and I got a phone number not from the same area code of where I'd interviewed, but from a West Coast area code that I recognized. I knew it was probably related, but I was literally right in the security line, so I let go of the voicemail. And you can just imagine, I'm just kind of just want to answer this phone, I just want to figure out what's going on. I listened to the voicemail. It's the human resources department from my agency, and they have something to say to me, but they couldn't say it on the voicemail. So here I am, just getting through security, almost ready to board my flight. I'm trying to think out. I hadn't eaten. I literally hadn't eaten all day. I'm starving. I didn't know what to do. I was like, no. The most important thing I do right now is I call this human resources guy up, figured out what he had to say. Well, luckily he made it short and quick. And this is the punchline I'm getting to. I was offered the position. So, I verbally agreed to it. I have not yet been given the written position, or the written offer, so nothing's really guaranteed yet, I guess, officially. Which to you may sound kind of funny since I was verbally given the position, and it seems, as things go, that would be as much of a guarantee I'm getting a position as any. But I'm actually a person who truly believes in jinxes. I'm very superstitious, so I feel like I have to give the anti-jinx right now and say that nothing is guaranteed until I'm actually given the written offer and then also the final offer. But it looks like in very, very short time, I'll be in Long Beach. And boy, I can't wait. And here we go. I'm getting the little stuff that's not so much about beer, although I'm gonna bring this back to beer. But let me tell you about why I'm so interested in going to Long Beach. I'm a person who's always been very sporadic. I came up to DC on a whim. I had gone to Tampa, to where I went to school after being in the active duty military, also on a whim. So I've always lived like this sort of Spartan lifestyle of having furniture always given to me, always very able to just up and move on a moment's notice, which is actually one of the reasons that this whole relocation to Long Beach is possible, because I'm not tied down here. I have no wife, no family, nothing like that to speak of. I've literally done it that way so I'd always be free and just enjoy life, right? Like grab the most of it and be able to seize every opportunity. But I always said I'd never get tired of that, and I haven't gotten tired of that. But that being said, there is a certain settling down that I look forward to, and I want to be on the West Coast. And if I can be anywhere on the West Coast, I want to be in a beach community in Southern California, because I've never been to any place that is more spoken to me than I've felt in, say, Seal Beach or certain parts of Long Beach. So to get this opportunity is just mind-boggling. It's so perfect. And when I get there, I intend to rent a place for a while, but as quick as possible. I'd like to find a place. I'd like to buy a place. Get the puppy I always wanted, and then make the job I have now my career. I'll do this beer blog on the side. I'll do the podcast. Continue to do the things that bring me fulfillment, but really start to set down roots, and whatever that means, right? But just I feel like this next stop is going to be a pretty long-term one. So anyway, so bring that all together, it just means that this entire weekend from Thursday to Monday was just so amazing, and then capped off with the very best news I've received in a really long time. And someone told me today that I was lucky. I was lucky because I was prepared for opportunity. And I really feel like that's true. Like I've really been setting myself up for this move. So to bring this all back to beer, so the question is, when I get to Long Beach, and I don't want to say when I get to Long Beach, no, let's not say it like that, jinx. Should I get to Long Beach? The beers I'm looking forward to first. I already told you, if you were to listen to the first podcast, that I've been to Beachwood Barbecue there in Long Beach and also in Seal Beach, and I love that place. I'm certain that's one of the first places that I visit. But I want to get my hands on some Alpine. I've heard so many good things about Alpine Brewery. I just need to try it. So I feel like Alpine's the first exotic West Coast beer I'll drink outside of Beechwood, which I'm sure I'll be a long time regular, especially because I also love barbecue. I mentioned this on my Untappd account today. There's nothing better to me than really spicy food and a big stout. So I'll look forward to really spicy barbecue there at Beechwood, a big stout, and then follow it up with their house IPA, whether it's Hop Jitsu or if I could find Melrose, that'd be great. And just love life. And then I'll do the road trips down the Stone. Definitely, I don't care how. I'm sure if San Francisco is 6 hours away from LA, I'm sure Petaluma is even further. But I'm definitely going to spend a lot of time at Lagunitas. Lagunitas is the brewery. I told you my all-time favorite brewer. It actually got me on craft beer, so I owe it a ton just for bringing such fulfillment in my life. It led me to this blog, it led me to this podcast, and I get satisfaction, I get enjoyment out of doing both. So that was my weekend. Just an amazing, amazing thing. Blue jacket, good friends. A birthday, going down to Tampa, which is where I went to school, checking out Cigar City, great place, going to the local restaurant, having a good night there, having a really successful, well, ultimately as successful as an interview as I could be because I was offered a position, then Mr. Dunderbox, and then just enjoying the company of my friends. But, I guess I spent almost today's allotted time just talking about those things. But it's been fun to share with you guys. So, that was the second episode of the craftbeerguru.com podcast. I can't tell you with what regularity I will be producing these. I can't tell you when the next one will be. But as we count down, it looks like I'll be moving to Long Beach soon. And as I do, I would love to share with you the preparation and my own excitement. So I hope you continue to tune in, and for now, I thank you for tuning into this one. And again, Merry Christmas, or whatever the case might be, Happy Holidays. And during those holidays, please enjoy some good beer. Cheers. Thanks, guys. Bye.